back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, Jar Jar Binks' beloved Queen Julia of the planet of Bardotta has been abducted by the bloodthirsty Frangrel cult to fulfill a dark and ancient prophecy. Representative Binks and Jedi Master Wet Blanket Windu must find the missing queen before the cult can rise in power. There will be Jar Jar's final Clone Wars appearance. Julia is a sexy lamp, and I'll explain what that means in Act 3. And Windu has a badass but way too short fight with Mother Freaking Talzin. We're talking The Disappeared Part 2 this week. How you doing, Kreeus?
Good.
I have to ask right away, were you expecting Mother Talzin to show up?
Oh, I was when they said the Dark Mother.
Okay.
I was like, hey, I think I know who that could be.
Because, like, in the notes last week, I purposely put in my notes, like, oh, well, your magic kind of looks very dark, like Night Sister-like.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's the green and the orbs. Mm-hmm. I knew she was coming because I've seen the episode, but I was just kind of planting that a little earlier just to see how you would react.
Yeah, no, definitely the green orb was a big, big hint.
Yeah. Why'd you have a good week?
I did. This is the fifth podcast I've recorded in 3 days.
Good lord, child.
Yeah. How about that?
Are you editing all of them?
It's a 6 in 4 days, actually. Yeah, I'm editing all of them.
God, I commend you. Editing is not my favorite thing.
I've got 2 on the editing block now, and then I'll have 6, 7 in the can right now. Yeah.
I had a good week. We're slowly working towards cleaning out the store. We've been having massive sales on our stuff, so it's been, like, really crazy busy. Like, we're doing, like, Christmas numbers in volume right now because everyone's, like, just buy all the stuff.
Where are you going to operate out of, like, a warehouse or something?
My owner's basement.
Okay. Even better.
Yeah.
Even cheaper.
So. Well, it's kind of funny because, like, actually, it's really sweet because, like, our comic book store, with it closing stuff, we're offering to continue online only for our subscribers, and so many of them are staying with us. And because that was the hardest thing for me. It was, like, I wouldn't be able to talk to my customers and see them and stuff, but so many of them are choosing to stay with us, even though we're, like, moving online only. And the funny thing is, like, we're also offering delivery for the area around my boss's house and the area where I live. Well, one of our customers is like, oh, I live in that town. And I was like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, Lilburn's like right across the street. And then it hit me that Lilburn is 45 minutes away from me.
Oh,
but
geez.
It's still technically the city I live in. And I was like, well, you're not wrong. We did say that we would deliver. And I'm like, crap, I'm going to have to drive 45 minutes every week to deliver his comics. Crap. I'm going to have to talk to Brad and be like, at least pay me for gas.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure. If you're going to be a delivery person, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, please at least compensate for my gas. But, yeah, I'm very excited. I'm very happy that so many people are staying with us. And just it's been busy, and I just, yeah. Though, I have to say, Star Wars released a second trailer to The Resistance. I put it in the Facebook Cantina,
mm-hmm.
where they kind of went into more about the ace pilots. Did you watch it?
Yeah, it's got more of a pod racing feel to it.
My favorite is the X-Wing Imperial. Like he used to be a TIE fighter pilot, and now he's just, like, an old mean bastard, and all he wants to do is have, like, one last great battle.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be the most interesting character, because he's got the most miles on him. He's basically a Rex sitting there, you know?
Yeah, only he worked for the bad guys.
Right, but he's basically a Rex. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, he's the Rex from Rebels in this one, you know? I'm sure he's going to be crusty and badass, but only when he feels like it.
Yeah, but, like, something that actually, somebody brought up a really good point, especially after, like, the episodes in Rebels, like, from Imperial Eyes, which is from the point of view of Callus, and we got to see more of how the Imperials work. Someone's like, well, we have, like, Star Wars Rebels and Star Wars Resistance. Where's Star Wars Empire, where it's about the Empire and not those people and, like, the inner workings of them? And I was like, that would actually be very fascinating, like, starting off, like, with, like, a group of, like, low-ranking people and watching them, like, and, like, you could have every once in a while had people like Tarkin or Thrawn or Vader, but, like, it's about a group of, like, stormtroopers and, like, their daily life. But at the same time, like, that's a very fine line because they're the bad guys and you don't want to make them too likable.
Right.
Like, but I think if they approach it in the way that they approach the Darth Vader comics, where it's like, you always, like, the moment you start kind of feeling sympathy, they do something terrible and you remember that they're the bad guys. I think that'd just be such a fascinating show. But there's a bajillion books about the Empire and stuff like that. So, but I thought that would be cool to.
It might be a bridge too far for Disney to make a show about the bad guys.
Yeah, maybe for, like, the streaming service, like, have it that way it could be a little bit more adult.
Yeah, maybe. I would think there's only so adult Disney wants to get with Star Wars, and that might be about as adult as the movies get, you know? I don't know. We'll see what the live-action show's like.
Oh, my God. The current Darth Vader comic is just so dark and brutal. Like, I've had a couple of parents be like, do you think my child can read this? And I'm like, I'm on
what
the fence about that one.
What else does your child read?
Yeah, like, depends how old is your child? Because, like, there was a recent issue where Eeth Koth, who is a Jedi Master and he used to be on the Council, somehow before Order 66, he was kicked off the Council and he left the Order as well. And Vader has hunted him down, and he's, like, the priest for this cult, and he has a wife. And his wife, the comic opens with his wife giving birth, and, like, he's holding his daughter, and then Vader walks in. And Eeth Koth is like, I'm not a Jedi anymore. And he's like, no, I'm going to kill you anyway and take your child. And it's brutal. Like, he murders Eeth Koth, like, while holding his baby by the head. And they take his child. Like, it's brutal. It's dark. And I love it. I love the current Darth Vader comic. It's so good.
Well, comics can be a little darker. And, you know, I mean, the horror comics we used to read as kids were as dark, if not darker than that, and had as much death and
you turned out so well, Honeywell.
Right, yeah, see.
Well, yeah,
I feel
it's
I'm
really
a good role model.
Anyway, but yeah, it's been a week. It's gonna be another 2 weeks, but I'm actually really ready to get into this episode. I did you like this episode?
I did like this episode.
I like this episode, too. I
liked it better than the last one, actually.
You know, like, I was kind of like, oh, these are the two Jar Jar episodes, but I've really enjoyed these two episodes. And I'm actually very excited to talk about this one. I can't believe I just said I'm excited to talk about a Jar Jar episode.
I am, too. This is my second favorite Jar Jar episode.
Yay!
Even more so than the one with Grievy, yeah.
Well, you ready?
Yeah.
The Disappeared Part 2 is the 117th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on March 7, 2014. It was written by Jonathan W. Rinzler, and directed by Bosco Ng. Some extra information for you. The ending of the script in this episode specifically says that the heroes ride off like the end of The Last Crusade. And I think that's Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade.
It is. It sure is.
One of the starting points the crew explored regarding the unlikely pair of Jar Jar Binks and Mace Windu was the 2005 comedy The Man, which teamed up Samuel L. Jackson and Eugene Levy. And finally, this is Jar Jar's final Clone Wars appearance, but his story didn't end here. And I actually go into this more detail in Act 3, so we'll get to that. But Jar Jar's fate following the events of the prequels was finally revealed in 2017, when Binks made a cameo in the Chuck Wendig book Aftermath, Empire's End, the third and final installment of the Aftermath trilogy, which is set after the events of Return of the Jedi. According to the book review and author Chris Taylor, Binks's popularity with the children and ostracism by the adults in Naboo and the Gungans was a subtle commentary on the polarizing attitude towards the character within the Star Wars fan community.
Yeah, I don't know if it was that subtle.
I'll go into more details later. Since this is Jar Jar's last appearance, I actually wrote out, kind of like what I did with Lux Bonteri, where I was like, this is where he goes afterwards. I did that with Jar Jar because his story actually is very sad. It's very, very sad in the end. And I don't know. I've kind of reached the point where after watching him all throughout Clone Wars, I feel like Jar Jar deserves better.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what, who also deserves better?
You know who else is also very subtle, too?
Not at all. You're not very subtle. No, you're not. Maybe your farts are subtle, but not you.
Smell like roses.
Man, can't do fart sounds tonight, apparently.
Rich with the force they are.
Do you have to force them out sometimes?
Sometimes. Always your mind on where you're going. Never where you are. What you're doing. Oh.
That's how he helps Luke, like Luke will be going to swing across with Yoda on his back, and Yoda just pushing him across the ravine.
No.
Like little rocket.
There is no try.
Yoda? Your voice just changed. Are you okay?
Does it mean by my size, do you?
Oh, it's a toy. Oh, it's a toy.
800 years have I trained Jedi. Do. Does it mean for eight? Do.
What is that?
I picked up a new Yoda at a garage sale. He's a little stuffed Yoda, and he was 75 cents, so I picked him up. He kind of looks like Bernie Sanders.
Well, Bernie Sanders kind of looks like Yoda.
it's his hair. He has real super white Bernie Sanders hair.
But I think we've made that comparison multiple times on the show.
I didn't even pay attention. I was buying him. The lady goes, yeah, I just put batteries in him. And I said, batteries? What does he do? She goes, squeeze his hand, and then...
Do. Oh, do not. There is no try.
And his mouth moves.
His mouth moves?
Yeah.
I don't like when toys move.
Yeah, it's extra creepy. That's how I like my Yodas. I thought this one worked really well in bed, too, even with the show.
Yeah, do or do not, there is no try. In bed!
Yeah, I'm saying the wisdom is born in fools as well. Oh, I haven't done it yet, have I?
Oh, no.
Shit, I'm going to have to cut that part out. Getting ahead of myself. Well, I think this platitude works really well in the show and with in bed. Would you like to hear it?
I don't think you should cut any of that out.
Wisdom.
Chris messes up sometimes too. Like when I mess up, I'm just like, ah, fuck it, just keep it, Chris. But you gotta mess up too sometimes. So
I don't want to spoil the. I didn't want to spoil the platitude.
It's still funny when the Yoda voice. All right, Yoda, what's the platitude?
Wisdom is born in fools as well as wise men in bed.
Hey!
See, because actually, there's a fool gets in bed in this one.
Yeah, you know when they rode off into that sunset, they went back to that palace, and Windu was like, let's go, and Jar Jar's like, let's go tomorrow.
I'm just pissed that Windu didn't let her ride on his steed or let him and Jar Jar. He lets both of them ride on the little lumpy one while he has a nice, comfortable ride.
I mean, granted, Windu has probably never, really courted a woman before, so he was probably like, I'm just going to get on my horse, let's go, and, didn't think about it.
I don't know about that.
Well, that's true. I bet Windu would be very good with the ladies if he tried.
That blanket got wet somehow.
Oh, But shouldn't it be Krusty Blanket Windu?
Well, we don't know about Mace Windu's species.
Well, how often is he doing it so it's perpetually always wet?
I don't know. He just might be a sweaty guy.
Oh, that's a lot of J-O-ing for, like, to keep it always wet.
Better not to go into it too deeply.
Oh, I was wondering why that blanket used to be, like, red and now it's white. It's a nice pink blanket now. Anyway. I'm going to take a sip of my coffee past that. Act one. On the planet of Bardotta, the people are strong in the Force and Force sensitive. They don't like Jedi because they rightfully accuse the Jedi of being baby nappers. Their leader is Queen Julia, who has been taken by the Frangral cult, people who follow the dark side. There's an evil prophecy that will be fulfilled if they can't find her in 3 days. This is some Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask stuff going on. They have 3 days.
It's totally a video game. It's totally a video game.
Oh my god. Like, when they were like, they have 3 days or darkness will come. I was like, Majora's Mask? The moon's gonna crash into them? Oh my god. Julia is an old friend of Jar Jar Binks and called him for help. Mace Windu tagged along and everyone on the planet hates him because he's a Jedi. So he has to pretend to serve Jar Jar to not get kicked off the planet. Together, Jar Jar and Wet Blink and Windu swear to find the kidnapped queen. Also, Julia is apparently Jar Jar's girlfriend. Ew. On to this week. Jar Jar recounts what happened when one of the Force Masters got the living Force stolen from him to Windu as they fly into space. Windu realizes that the cultists can't use the living Force like the Jedi or the Sith because Bardotans aren't trained that way in the Force. There has to be something much darker going on here. They zip off into hyperspace and try to find the queen, on the sphere collecting all the living Force from beings. The cultists arrive with Julia on the moon. One says that the Great Mother gave him a vision, saying that Windu and Jar Jar are hot on their tails. The Great Mother warned them that this would happen, if a Jedi ever came to Bardotta. They must sacrifice the Queen right away and give her living Force to the Great Mother. Then, she can deal with the Jedi herself. End of Act 1. Like, that was like 5 minutes, but
yeah,
like when you actually...
I was
like,
having a hard time figuring... I was like, could that really be the end of Act 1? Because it's just...
Was pretty much just Jar Jar recounting last episode for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, basically. My only note on it is Wet Blanket Windu's attitude has changed now that he knows Jar Jar's actually gotten some and with a queen. He's definitely treating him with a lot more respect.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's about all I got out of.
Yeah, I mean, I only have a few notes. My first one is I don't have much here because they pretty much just recounted what happened last episode.
Yeah.
I also like the cultist ship and how it looks like a bug with giant wings.
Yeah, and the ship that they go after him with is kind of another winged ship too.
Yeah. So when you got to this part with them talking about the Great Mother, did you realize who it was? Talzin?
That's what I was thinking was going to happen, because that's when, as soon as they said that, it's like, Mother, you know, what are they going to do? Another Night Mother? You know, I mean, they could have done another Night Mother. That would have been interesting, actually, but...
I think, like, if last week they were talking about, like, the Great Mother is, like, a demon, because we know that this cult worships demons, so like this ancient demon. Well, if they would have like hinted more, like at least called the demon a she, they could have hidden the reveal a little bit.
I don't even know if the demon was supposed to be her, or if she was just like an agent of it or something, you know? It might have been something where she was like, who knows if the demon even existed, and she's like, I'm an emissary of Glugluglublu, and, you know... So give the globe to me. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, yeah, when I was picturing a demon, I was picturing some interdimensional Cthulhu thing, usually, is what's going on with that when you're saving up people's life essence and orbs.
Yeah, I think I remember the first time I watched this, when they were talking about a demon, that they worship a demon. I kind of was thinking of that episode of Doctor Who where they actually find the devil.
Right, and they were going the Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom route too. So in that way, it was Kali, you know. So mm-hmm. Kali is sort of a, you know, devil like figure, giant demon, eater of men, eater of souls.
Nom nom nom. Nom nom nom.
I know, I was watching video of an otter eating dog food today. Where they sort of tip their head to the side and it would pick up one and eat it, and it's just like, oh, look at that otter eater of souls. That's how I picture like a real demon would eat souls. It's like nom nom nom. Happy like a little otter.
I actually recently saw a series of photos of a cat sitting outside, and a possum comes up and just starts eating the food, and the cat like turns around and has this like scared face looking at the door like, Mom!
What do I do now? I've seen ones where the raccoons come in and grab the whole bowl and run off with it. Stood right up on its hind legs with the bowl and just like took off, and there's like two dogs going like, what happened?
Yeah, but that's all I have for Act 1. It was very... There wasn't a lot to Act 1.
It's barely an act. It was almost like a little teaser at the beginning.
And they could have honestly just had the whole thing with the narrator and been like, Queen Julia has been taken and this cult has been doing the things, and then like given the first 5 minutes so they have more time later in the show. Because that's actually like one of my big criticisms from this. Like when Mother Towson shows up, there's just not a lot of time for her to be there and be awesome. And so, like, they could have taken this, like, Act 1 with the narrator cover and have it with Windu and Jar Jar landing on the moon, where the cultists are, and started the episode there instead of having this whole thing in the beginning with them just being like, Jar Jar, what did the cultists do? Well, apparently you didn't see last week's episode, so Misa's gonna tell you about it.
Yep.
All right, Act 2?
All right, so you want to get into the actual story now?
Yeah, the actual story instead of the recap. Alright, Act 2. Wet Blanket Windu and Jar Jar land on the moon where the cultists are. Jar Jar is anxious to find his girlfriend, but Windu says they gotta have patience. He wants the Force to guide them, but Jar Jar really doesn't have time for Jedi bullshit when some dudes might be shanking his girlfriend right now. But Windu says that they will lose time if they randomly run through the streets looking for Julia. They need to trust in the Force. Windu is able to foresee a market, the glowing orb, and the queen. The chase is now on, bitches! And they reach the square, and they're being watched by some armed dudes from up above. And they reach the market that Windu saw, and they split up. Windu will search from the roofs above while Jar Jar looks on the ground. Jar Jar is immediately bombarded with little fellows wanting him to buy fruit. But then he hears Julia scream out for him, and Jar Jar rushes after her with Windu not too far behind. The cultists slow down Windu with a herd of farm animals while Jar Jar is surrounded by bad guys. He runs away, leading the cultists right to Windu, who fights them. Jar Jar spots more baddies in an alleyway and deduces that they will more than likely bring the queen around the corner to this particular alley. And goddammit, Jar Jar Binks is right, because there's the bad guys right on cue with the queen. Windu hurries up to fight more of the cultists while Jar Jar continues to follow the bad guys with the queen. He gets pinned down by blaster fire and has a moment where he goes, I need to be brave. And he rushes into battle, but Windu, who parkoured through the night sky, took out the dude with a big gun, and they continue their chase. Meanwhile, the cultists get Julia on a transport and zip out to the desert. An animal trainer with two big gun darks comes out to stall the heroes. Jar Jar runs into Windu, and the trainer uses a whip to steal Windu's lightsaber. He fights the gun darks while Jar Jar takes on the animal trainer to try and get the Jedi his lightsaber back. Using his tongue, he snatches the lightsaber and spits it to Windu. Wet Blanket quickly cuts down one gun dark, and
you
the
mean
other
wet
piece
lightsaber runs. Windu.
It's sweaty lightsaber Windu. Well, it's sweaty palms. Windu quickly cuts down one gun dark, and the other beast runs away. Before the animal trainer can get away, Jar Jar smacks him with a wicked right hook, and Windu demands answers why they're stealing the living force. The trainer says that the Great Mother will come, and a shadow will envelop the galaxy. And Windu knocks him out and goes after Jar Jar. They see the bad guys escape down to the desert, and they realize they need a ride. They purchase a couple animals and continue their pursuit. What'd you think of Act 2?
I don't know my anime, but is that animal trainer, Gundark trainer guy, basically, does he looks like maybe the Airbender guy or Dragon Ball Z or something?
We've actually had his race of people before. Do you remember the episode? It was a one-shot episode, and it was Ahsoka and Lux, and it's where they meet with Pre Vizsla, and like the whole time Ahsoka's like, they're murderers, Lux, they're going to trick you. And Lux is like, no, they're not going to trick us, and then they trick him, and Lux is like, oh, no. Do you remember that episode?
Yeah.
Well, the point that made them go, oh no, is they took over a village of people called the Ming Po, And he's a Ming Po person. He's from that little timid village, and the village was only there for 5 minutes, and we were like, why was this even here in the first place? And it had a very Asian influence.
Yeah, he looked like, I think it was Dragon Ball Z, the Dragon Ball Z character, the last air. He looked like an anime character, for sure.
Yeah, he's a Ming Po person, and we've only seen them one other time, and even then they were barely there, so it didn't really... I actually looked it up, because I thought Ming Po was his name. And then when I pulled it up, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember these guys. Oh, okay.
Whatever, Ming Po.
Yeah. Though, apparently the Avatar The Last Airbender guys have a new show on Netflix. And it's called The Dragon Prince. And I saw the trailer, and it looks really good. And I'm hoping to start it soon. So, just tangent, sorry.
I liked that once again, we got some color themes going. We got a nice gold and blue-green color going in the city. And my only other real note for this is another extended Raiders of the Lost Ark riff, but it's like, this one was Raiders of the Lost Ark. This was very much like a chase in Raiders of the Lost Ark where they were trying to kidnap Marion and he was chasing him through a busy marketplace and running into kids trying to sell stuff. But... unfortunately, in the movie, it like appeared that Marion got killed. So I was thinking, oh, I wonder if they're going to do that with the Queen. But they didn't. They kept it different enough. But it was basically the same idea as Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Huh.
So they hit a little bit of all three Raiders movies in this. All three of the original Raiders movies.
It's been so long since I've seen Indiana Jones. I don't remember. I'm bad. I know. I'm so bad with movies.
If you saw it, you'd definitely recognize this sequence in there. But that's all I got.
So, my first note is the section in the beginning when Windu is using the Force trying to find the Queen. I laughed at Jar Jar because Windu was all like, I see a market and people. And Jar Jar goes, yeah, I see that too with my eyes. I laughed so hard.
Windu should have just said, dude, literally give me 10 seconds to close my eyes and do my Force thing. Just give me 10 seconds. You know, he's like, have patience, and you're sitting like thinking he's going to have to meditate for a few hours or something. And, you know, it's just like, no, he could have sent Jar Jar, he could have said, like, oh, go get something in the back, and then, like, done it and been all done. But, yeah, it literally took him, like, 10 seconds to go, like, I see this. Okay, let's go.
But I really just like that one point where he's like, I see a market and people. And Jar Jar, in the most deadpan Jar Jar voice that, like, he's ever used, was like, yeah, I see that, too. And yeah. I laughed. It was so funny.
And, well, you notice Mace Windu isn't rolling his eyes at Jar Jar anymore, either. He was, you know, he might have been a lot more short with him before, but he was just sort of like, look, just... calm down. And Jar Jar, to his benefit, also did, too. So yeah. They're cooperating with each other. They're forming a relationship. And it actually works. I think they're good team.
It works really well. Also, my next note is, like, when they get to the marketplace, Jar Jar says that he gets a creepy feeling from the square. And I'm sure you are getting creepy feelings. Darth Jar Jar, cue the music, Chris!
Oh.
Oh, come on, it's the last time. It's the last Jar Jar appearance. We have to do one more Darth Jar Jar music. You better be playing.
If he was going to Darth Jar Jar out, the end of this episode would have been definitely his big chance.
Like, he steals the life force for himself, and he's just like, yes. Me say yes. Are you playing the music?
What do you think?
Okay, good, because this is the last time. Just soak it in.
I always play the music.
Just soak it in. This is the last time. Of Clone Wars that will have Jar Jar music. Probably the last time, because...
that we know of. We don't
that
know.
He's not in Rebels, so we just... who knows when we'll have this music again, everybody. Just enjoy it. Listen to it. Let it fill your ears with evil.
Just know for a fact he's not going to turn up in Season 7, right?
I'm pretty sure he probably won't.
I don't know.
I mean, he always could. There always could be
hope. I don't know. Let's bet $1 on that, Mullinex.
There's always a chance.
I say there's a high chance that they'll bring back Jar Jar.
In season 7?
Yes.
Alright, I'll hold
just
you to this.
Just because I can. $1.
$1. And I'll hold
cyber
you to it.
Cyber shake on it. There we go.
Cyber shake. Cyber shake. Shake, shake, shake. Blue powder power. But next to I have to agree with you. I like the design of the marketplace. I like how the little produce stands have the glowing like orbs on the top, and it just helps with the lighting of this dark planet. And it's just, it's really nice looking. I really like it.
Yeah, and they took a lot of time. Like, when you look inside the shops and stuff, there's people moving around in them and stuff. They put a lot of detail and sound design into it.
Yeah, like, there's that scene where Jar Jar, like, ducks into a building so he can look out the other door, and there's people inside. And, like, it's a fully formed shop, and it's a very quick scene, but it's nice for, like, the 2 seconds. I mean, it's a really nice marketplace. My actual real note for this section is I actually really like watching Jar Jar in this episode because he has personal stakes on the line. Because so far in the show when we've seen him, he would usually be just tagging along with either, like, Padme or, like, I don't know, like, Bail Organa. And, like, his life might be in danger, but he never seemed too worried about himself because he was always just kind of tagging along here. But this time, like, he has someone he cares about, and they're in danger. And it's a different Jar Jar because it's not him in danger. It's somebody he cares for that's in danger.
And how often is he going to find a girlfriend, too, much less one that's a queen?
Yeah, and, like, it's very nice to see different. Like in this opening act when, like, he's like, let's go, and Windu's like, no, Jar Jar has the right to be panicked and anxious, and he wants to act now. And I like seeing this Jar Jar because it's very different from what we usually see from him. And I think him having Julia is a really good character development for him.
Well, it's also probably one of the reasons why Windu isn't being such a dick to him either about being impatient, you know?
Mm-hmm. And my only other note, I like how they take a lot of the quote-unquote annoying Jar Jar things and use it well. Like, you know, like him being silly and using his tongue and spitting things and stuff has always been kind of a joke. But in this, he uses it in a fight to get Windu back his lightsaber. So a lot of, like, the very silly, Jar Jar things that we usually make fun of, they're actually using it in productive ways, and it's helpful, and I like that.
Yeah, he's not messing things up like he usually does. They're not, you know, he's accomplishing stuff in his goofy Jar Jar manner, but he's not the usual, just like go into a situation and kind of foul it up, even if that fouling it up sort of fixes it. There'll be a little bit of that in Act 3, but, you know, not really.
But, like, there's even one moment where he's like where he's pinned down by blaster fire, and he has that moment where he's like, I need to be brave.
Yep.
And he, like, runs into battle. Like, it's a cool moment for him. Oh my god, Jar Jar has cool moments, Chris.
It's happened before.
I know, but I think this is probably one of the better ones.
I'm always open.
Anyway, so what I was saying was, I know you like Bomb Bad Jedi, even though I kind of disagree with you on that one. I feel like this is the best Jar Jar episode.
Yeah, Bomb Bad Jedi is always going to be my favorite because there was an attitude to it. But this one doesn't have the attitude. This one just has a solid story.
For me, like, on this one, I feel like this is the culmination of us watching Jar Jar throughout all of the Clone Wars, and this is what it's come to. And because of that, I feel like this is the best of all of Jar Jar, because he's reached this point, and it's kind of earned. I think, he's earned this episode.
Yeah, and only through Clone Wars has he earned it, too.
Yeah, so I think, like, starting off with Bomb Bad Jedi to where he is now, I mean, it's very much a very big difference. And I just, I really enjoy Jar Jar Binks' character development. So I'd be interested to see what the listeners think about this one. Like, definitely leave us comments on this one, guys, because I'm interested to see what you guys think. But that's all I have for Act 2.
All right. So do you want to get to the actual good part?
Yeah, and
mojo happens is in Act 3 in this one.
And the majority of my notes are in Act 3 too, so let's do it. Act 3. The bad guys get to the pyramid in the middle of the desert and ramble off some mumbo-jumbo about how the planets are aligning and the Great Mother will steal the life force away from the Queen and a new order will arise. So, you know, normal cultist crap that's always in movies and TV shows. And they lock Julia in a big circle on top of the pyramid. And just to clarify, it's not like a big Egyptian pyramid. It's maybe like 20 feet big and tall. I'm calling it a pyramid because that's how Wikipedia labeled this building as a pyramid, but it's more of like a platform. Just FYI, it's not like a big Egyptian pyramid. Anyway, Windu and Jar Jar are racing through the desert on their animals, and Jar Jar is whooping and wailing, and Windu is like, oh my god, shut up! Here's some Jedi bullshit about focusing on the task at hand just to get you to shut up. And Jar Jar wonders why they want the Queen so bad. And Windu explains that she's the leader of her people, so her living force must be very strong. And they make a plan. Windu will handle the guards and the evilness, and Jar Jar will get the Queen. And in a sweet bro moment, Jar Jar innocently says that the good guys will triumph. And Windu nods back in saying that they will win. Meanwhile, back at the pyramid, a ship arrives, and it's the Great Mother, a.k.a. Mother Freaking Talzin of the Night Sisters. And she's very excited to get her Living Force Orb, but senses Windu is coming for them, and they need to begin the ritual right away. And Julia sees Talzin, and she's like, bitch, who are you? And Talzin's like, double bitch, you're gonna be dead soon, so why does it matter? Though, Talzin does monologue, saying that she's not a natural force wielder like Sith and Jedi, but uses magic instead, and she'll get to use all of Julia's living force, and wah-ha-ha-ha. And she has a device to harness the power of the sun, to steal Julia's force or whatever. Anyway, don't think about it too much. It's like a series of magnifying glasses, and somehow that will harness the sun to steal Julia's force. I just don't think about it. Anyway, Talzin wants to have more power than Palpatine or the Jedi, so just roll with it. Jar Jar and Windu arrive at the pyramid, but the Stone Guardians come to life to stop them. They fight the Guardians, and Jar Jar takes one of their big guns and shoots the last one. And Mace Windu is actually impressed by this. Yes, just like that. He's actually impressed. I'm sorry, you made me laugh. Oh, they leap up on the pyramid, and Talzin is like, hey, welcome to my party. I don't seem to remember inviting you, though. Time to die. And she makes a magic sword and fights Mace Windu. Jar Jar manages to get Julia out of the shackles right when the device harnesses the power of the sun, and they accidentally knock over the glowing orb, and it shatters, releasing the energy. It explodes, destroying the top of the pyramid. Windu gets to his feet and sees Talzin holding what little living force energy is left. But it vanishes, and she disappears into the air like Thanos snapped his Infinity Gauntlet fingers. Snap. And that's it. They won the day, despite hundreds of cultists who suddenly vanished? And was surrounded by people, and now they're all gone. Who knows? Don't ask questions. And Julia is all like, Jar Jar, you saved me! And Jar Jar gives credit to Windu for all that he did. And Julia recognizes her life was saved by a Jedi, and maybe it's time to rethink their relationship with the Jedi and the Bardotten Force users going forward. Luckily, they probably dodged a bullet, because Order 66 is really close to happening, and they probably got spared from all of that mess. And they jump on their noble animal steeds and ride off into the desert. The end. What'd you think of Act 3?
I liked it. I love the first shot of them on their horses, their steeds, going through the desert. It's just this tracking shot with the dunes sort of going like a wave in front of them, and no music at all, just the sound of the hooves of the creatures, and then
it's the sound of silence,
and their dialogues were the little scene with him and Mace having their bonding moments really nice, except it made me think, maybe things are the way that they did that made me think that they were setting it up for things not going too well. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, maybe this is when Jar Jar finds out that, you know, Mace Windu was wrong on something. But no, I'm glad they didn't do all the little twists that I thought they would do, which would be like killing the Queen or having the Queen be in on it and turning on Jar Jar or something like that. They sort of made it look like, for a second, that the queen might have, like, gotten hit by the beam anyway, trying to, like, push Jar Jar out of the way, maybe, but they didn't go that route either, so I was glad they just sort of left it as it was, because at first I was like, yeah, they can't have Jar Jar hooked up with a girlfriend, but I guess they can, you know?
You know, I actually made a note that like that, too, because it's been a pretty dark season so far, because first we had the Fives arc, and then we just finished the Anakin and Clovis arc. So yeah. I like that this one has, like, a happy ending, and it has a bit of a lighter tone to it.
I was expecting it to be a lot darker, because it's that season 6 getting ready for episode 3, Order 66 time, so I was expecting a much darker, depressing ending. So I was very happy with it.
Yeah.
Is
that all your notes?
Yeah, that's all my notes, really, for it.
My first note I've already said, which was, remember, last episode, and I was like, that's a cool orb and a very Night Sister, because I knew Talisman was coming back. One criticism I still have from last week is I wish we got to see more how the Bardotans use the Force and how it differs from the Jedi. And, like, we know that they're more passive in the Force. Like, they're more, like, meditators and stuff like that. And Julia is very passive in these two episodes. Though I would have liked to see her maybe, like, use the Force in a way just so that she's at least trying to fight back. Like, you know, she's not going to be, like, moving rocks and stuff like Jedi. But maybe she could be, like, meditating as they're carrying her and, like, right, somehow connecting with Windu and Jar Jar to help them find her. Because at least then she would have more of an active role in these episodes.
Yeah, that's why I thought she was going to turn out to be maybe in on it or something, because they really didn't give her a lot to do except for being Jar Jar's girlfriend.
And then I realized Julia doesn't pass the sexy lamp test. Do you know what that is?
The sexy lamp? L-A-M-P?
I'm going to explain the sexy lamp test. The sexy lamp test was created by Kelly Sue DeConnick. She's a comic book writer. She did the very well-known Captain Marvel run. And what it is when you take a strong female character, and the test has kind of evolved over time. If you take a female character and you can replace them with the sexy leg lamp from The Christmas Story, and the plot doesn't change and works the exact same way, then you have a bad female character.
That's pretty much, yeah, okay. That, yeah.
And they might as well have been carrying the sexy lamp. Like they might as well have been carrying, like, kidnapped the sexy lamp from the people, threw it in the speeders, took it to the circle, and Jar Jar took the lamp down, and it still works. And, like, she doesn't pass the sexy lamp test. And that's why I kind of wish they, like, even if it was, like, when they're carrying her, you see her meditating, and one dude just kind of senses it. Like, that's all I would have needed. Because, like, and he could have been like, oh, they're that way. You know, like, that would, like, when he's in that, doing that 10 second meditating in the beginning, that would have just fixed all this to show that she has a connection.
Or maybe she was sort of communicating a little with Jar Jar. That would have been really cool. And then yeah,
Windu
would have had
that to him. Because then in that case, like, Jar Jar would have been like, they're this way. And Windu is like, how do you know? And he's like, Julia told me. They're this way. Like, that would have been cool, too. But it's just like they kept telling us, like, oh, the Bardotans are strong in the Force, but they take a passive role in the living Force. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean that they are strong in the Force but they don't use it? Like, and they're like, oh, the Bardotans are so important to the light side of the Force. Well, we don't see it, and that is still a criticism I have to this episode and last week's episode. Is that's the one thing I feel like is really missing, because it's showing not telling. It's just basic storytelling. It's showing not telling. We're told that they're strong in the Force, but we don't see it.
Well, because they're just sort of a background in the story, really. That's the thing, you know, in this story. And when you do stuff like that, also, well, I mean, at this point, they knew they weren't going to be doing any other seasons, but, you know, you could have expounded on it. Oh, they didn't know,
because this was supposed to be a full, like, 22-episode season, and they were planning for season 7 and 8.
So they, you know, you might as well introduce them, and then you have stuff to learn about them the next time you see them, possibly, you know, and you've got something for people's imagination to work on too, and for people with podcasts to talk about.
You know, I find that a lot as we get into this later section of Clone Wars, like the Cad Bane episode, Like, we didn't realize it was his last episode because they had planned more and they never got to it.
Right, right.
So that's, I feel like we keep running into this. Like, they keep introducing all these really cool things. And I feel like this is something that they probably planned for the future. You know, because this is very open-ended. Julia's like, Windu, maybe we can reopen our relationship with the Jedi and stuff. And he's like, cool. Which could have been something to play later. Because it kind of makes me wonder, like, what happens to them after Order 66? Like, Palpatine knows that they're light force users. I'm sure he doesn't sit nicely on this planet just being there.
Well, it depends on what they do.
Yeah.
If they don't do anything that affects him, he probably is like, why should I even bother paying attention? You know, he probably only pays attention to anything that's like a threat to him or something that he can use.
Yeah.
And I imagine he could have eaten them in some way, you know. He could have eaten their force, you know, in some way.
Like Chewie and the Porgs.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, he could have rigged up his own version of the ants under the magnifying glass for them or whatever. But I get the feeling that they're not active. They might be strong in the force, but yeah, they're doing it all in the spiritual realm, in meditation and stuff like that. So it might be more of just like a maintaining of the balance. They might even act like a, you know, connective tissue for force communication. So everybody wants to let them be, because that's how you can see things through the force, you know. Who knows? There's a million different directions you could go with it.
Yeah.
What they do that you wouldn't be able to see, or, you know, wouldn't be like apparent effects.
I kind of just wish we got to see it a little bit more, though. Like, I feel like that was the thing that was kind of missing, is we didn't get to see how they used the Force.
Mm. Well, this is a short arc of 22-minute episodes, so, yeah.
Yeah. Which brings me to my next point, because this brings us back to Act 1 and how it wasn't really an act. I wish they brought Mother Talzin sooner into the episode. I mean, she was in it, what, like 3 minutes, if that?
Yeah, maybe, if that.
And
she was, like,
in
the last 3 minutes, and you saw her two of them, you know?
Yeah, and, like, she shows up, Windu shows up, and then they have an amazing magical sword fight that's way too short.
Well, you know, that's the thing, though, is it probably should be short, because she was just sort of, like, wasting time until she could get her chance to zip out of there. I didn't get the feeling that she, like, ceased to exist. She just, like, was like, whoop, back into the ether and get the hell out of here. I'm done here.
But I kind of feel like it could have been cool, like, if they've taken that 5 minutes that's not really Act 1 and put it more towards the end here, to where, like, that fight could have been a little bit longer. And, like, now that beam of light is there, like, it could have been, like, dodging the light. Like, she's trying to shove Windu into it, and he's, like, trying to stay out of it. Like, that would have been so cool. And where did all the cultists go?
They scrambled.
People there, and they just, like, ran into the desert.
Where their altar got destroyed was very end of Raiders, the first Raiders of the Lost Ark, too. The way the smoke just sort of went foomf away from it. So, yeah, I think they were focusing more on doing their Raiders tribute, which is George Lucas's tribute to himself.
Yeah. But I do just wish Talzin would have been in there more, because it would have been, I knew she was in this episode, so I was looking forward to it, but then I forgot how short it was, and it was very disappointing for me. All right, so my last note is a big one. And it's multi-parts. So here we go. Since this is Jar Jar's last appearance in Clone Wars, I wanted to give some insight on what happened to him after this. So you ready?
Uh-huh.
So we know he's in Episode 3, where he helped suggest power get shifted to Palpatine, and he did not know at the time that this would aid to the rise of the Galactic Empire, and we know he was also at the funeral for Padme Amidala, right? But this next part, here we go, I'm going to read. Because of his role in abetting the rise of the Empire, he was once again exiled by his people. after the Battle of Endor and the rise of the New Republic, he performed in the streets of Theed as a clown who was popular with the children, but not so much with their parents. Many Gungan and Naboo adults refused to speak to him or say his name. Binks entertained the children by performing numerous antics, including wagging his tongue, juggling glombo shells, and spitting fish in the air and catching them, dancing around and swallowing and flushing out water through his ears. In 5 ABY, Binks encounters a young refugee boy named Mappo while performing in Theed's Plaza of the Catalan. Mappo was a charge at a nearby orphanage who had been burned badly after the Empire had bombed his home on a fuel depot. Due to his heinous burns, Mappo found few people who were willing to talk to him, let alone adopt him. After Binks caught a pickpocket fish with his long tongue, he asked the boy where he came from. Mappo related how he lost his parents during the Imperial bombardment of his home. Taking pity on the boy, Binks did another trick by swallowing water and spraying it through his ears. When Mappo told Binks that nobody talked to him, Binks revealed that he was an outcast because many Gungans in Naboo believed that he helped the Empire. A sympathetic Mappo did not think that Binks had aided the Empire and suggested that they were both outcasts. While Binks appeared to accept his fate, Mappo pointed out that he had a low chance of being adopted due to his disfigurement. When Mappo suggested that the two could go nowhere together, Binks replied that that was a bombad idea, which meant that he thought it was a great idea. When Mappo asked Binks if he could teach him how to be a clown, Binks gratefully accepted Mappo's request and the boy's friendship. What a sad fate for Jar Jar Binks!
It doesn't sound so bad.
He has to be outcast for years for something he didn't realize he was doing.
He and the kid found friendship and...
But, like, think of everything he's done. Like, because, like, he lost Anakin, he lost Padme, he lost his position in the Senate, and his people in Naboo outcasted him because they thought that he helped with the rise of the Empire. So he was a street clown. He was probably homeless. Like, how sad!
I guess it is, but it sort of reminds me of, like... the Old West, you know? It sounds like he and a kid teamed up and basically went on the road town to town. And they both being outcasts, they found somebody, you know, he found somebody to protect and the kids found somebody to learn a trade. And, hey, you know, what... In forced learning, they're not going to teach you that, you know... The goal in life is to become rich and famous or retire a hero for the, you know, rebellion or for anything like that. You know, maybe this is the greatest accomplishment of Jar Jar's life is maybe Mappo will end up saving millions of lives one day.
Actually, let me know something funny. After this book came out in 2017, a few fan theories popped up that Mappo is actually Snoke. And that Darth Jar Jar taught him everything he knew. Yeah, like after the Darth Jar Jar thing came out, everyone's like, Mappo is Snoke, I know, and Darth Jar Jar taught him everything he knew.
Well, they both have an O in their name.
Oh, dun dun dun. But like my last point is kind of on this one. Like, I understand that Jar Jar is a very polarizing character to many in the Star Wars community. But after watching him throughout the course of the show, I think that Clone Wars has redeemed Jar Jar, for me at least. I think that they showed that he is not only kind and caring, he's also a fighter in his own way, and he's not someone to overlook. Like, he actually has gotten a lot of politics done, he helped win a lot of battles, and he actually knows what he's doing a lot of the time, even though people doubt him, and that's where we got to with Mace Windu in this episode. Like, he realizes that Jar Jar actually knows what he's doing. And I think that this is... kind of a sad fate for him after the books, and I have to kind of like give the author like a nice little nod of saying like, yeah, kids love him for a reason. I loved him when I was a kid, and adults hated him, and I think that's Clone Wars redeemed Jar Jar for me. I'm sorry. I kind of like Jar Jar. We actually talked about it in the Clone Wars panel at Dragon Con. We're like, yeah, Jar Jar's kind of a badass, and so are the Gungans. Like, who would have thought?
The Gungans were badasses before Jar Jar. You know, he's the only really goofy Gungan we've seen ever.
Yeah, they were all warriors.
They're all warriors, or even the ones. Well, I don't. What was her name there?
I don't know which one you're talking about. The Boss Nass.
No, back from the blue waffle virus.
Oh, Peppy.
Peppy. Even Peppy was just kind of laid back and had her shit together, you know? Just as a normal Gungan citizen. It's Jar Jar who is the goofball. He doesn't even, you know, I don't even think he fits Gungan stereotypes. I think Gungan stereotypes are probably, like, noble and soft-spoken.
Yeah. But it's just... Clone Wars redeemed Jar Jar for me. What about you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I never was a big Jar Jar hater to begin with. I wasn't the biggest fan of the character, but I did not hate him with the fire that most people did. And after Bombad Jedi, I was just like, all right, you know. I thought Bombad Jedi sort of wiped the slate clean for me. Or, you know, in just Star Wars terms. And, so I enjoy... The only problems I've had with Jar Jar episodes in Clone Wars is sometimes they have, you know, they've shortchanged him. Not that he was there, but that his character sort of gets shortchanged into goofiness or whatever. And this is the kind of Jar Jar story I want, you know, where you see him actually developing and... He's still the same character, but now he's like he will go into battle, you know, and actively battle to get something done. It doesn't rely on him just being klutzy and causing a series of events that help in the end. He actively takes on physically the problem.
Yeah. I want to hear from our listeners, like, did Clone Wars redeem Jar Jar for you? Like, what do you guys think? Or are you guys still like, no, he's terrible? Or were you like, I've always liked him, whatevs? So, but, yeah, I like Jar Jar Binks now. Well, that's all I have for the episode. Did you have anything else?
I got nothing.
All right, score it up, Chris.
I gave this one... And I noticed your score went up a little bit in the course.
Yeah, the more I thought about it, yeah.
I gave it an 8.5 out of 10. I like this one a lot. It's not quite a Niner episode, but because it doesn't have like a lot of depth to the storyline, you know, really. But that's sort of why I like it too. It's a two and done, little compartmentalized Jar Jar story, and the end of this episode. Like, the third act of this episode was enough to make this episode better than the last episode for me. So, 8.5.
Yeah, because originally I started thinking about it, and I was like, I know some of the fives arcs, like, on episode two, I had, like, an 8, and I think one of the Clovis ones was an 8, and I was like, well, originally I had this at 7.75, because last week's was 7.5, and I liked this one a little bit better, but the more I thought about it, I was like, no, like... This told a different kind of story from the Fives arc or the Clovis arc, and I like it. And I liked it's always awesome to see Mother Talzin. I've always loved her, but I kind of wish, as I said, that they would have brought her into the episode sooner. And I think Jar Jar is awesome in this episode, and Windu has an understanding of him better. And like I kind of like that, like Windu kind of played the background to Jar Jar in this arc.
Yeah, Windu's just covering the heavy lifting, you know.
Yeah. Windu doesn't really do much other than fight.
Right.
And
that's what
though
I like.
Still...
He's like, I'll handle the guards and the evil.
Yeah.
You do everything else.
Though I still wish we had to see more of how the Bardotans use the Force in their own way, but I still enjoyed the episode overall, so I gave it an 8 out of 10. So my score went up as we talked about it.
Excellent.
Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. And this week, our feedback, I went ahead and did 3 episodes just to help us catch up on some, and most of these were really short because they were all different things. So this is for Conspiracy, Fugitive, and The Order. So this is all of the rest of the Fives arc.
Ooh.
So I have them broken down by episode.
All right. Oh, I get to do voices on all of them. Yeah, okay.
Mostly, they're almost all entirely Paul.
Right. Okay, so conspiracy is Paul C. Kelly says, I was surprised to see the Kaminoans dealing directly with Dooku. Oh, no. Oh, well, geez, I just put some Takai in there. It's not a tumor. Wonder how much you can blame the Jedi for the decision to give the biopsy to the Republic Hospital versus blaming the Kaminoans. Oh, yeah. Dark side is definitely blinding them. Blinded by the light. Wrapped
blinded
up like a douche.
Blinded by the light.
All right. And, okay, on to the next episode. Fugitive, back to Paul C. Kelly. That Thrawn Anakin audiobook definitely listened to Jay Guys and took your Anakin voice, I think.
Yeah, they did.
Really?
We talked about it. I didn't let you hear it because Mark Thompson's Anakin is very similar to your, gosh, Padme voice. My favorite still
thinking the you want fries with that Anakin.
No, but there's actually definitely a point in the audiobook that I almost crashed my car because I was driving to work when I was listening to it, where Anakin yells, "Lubricate!"
Lubricate, God.
Lubricate, and I was laughing so hard I almost had to pull over just because I was just laughing so hard.
First time I watched this, I thought the Kaminoans were evil beings, but now after hearing and observing all the corrupt Jedi Council nonsense, I can see them now as business people just seeing what's best for their operation, not understanding where the good guys actually exist or what's going on beneath the surface. Yeah, totally agree with that. I think they're like evil in what they end up, you know, being responsible for, but they're not being consciously, you know, they're not like, mwah.
Yeah, they're just doing business.
All right, on to orders. And, oh, we got Patrick Delmore. Speaking of the voice. A round table, you say? Looks like it's time for a prequel rewatch.
Yeah, we need to get that together.
Mom, pop up some popcorn. And Paul C. Kelly says, if Ahsoka were still there, I think she would sense Palpatine going all Sith on fives. Or even more true if, say, she had returned from her escape, being able to freely use the Force without influence of the Council, who are apparently blind to the dark side. I don't know. I think that's almost like all Jedi. I mean, even if she's, like, not officially a Jedi, they just seem to be completely, like, detached from it at all. They don't even seem to be getting little hints of it, except for maybe Yoda and maybe a little Mace Windu too.
Yeah, Windu, like, as far back as like the Zillow Beast episode, has been like looking at Palpatine going,
yeah. Yeah, and you know, and it's doesn't seem like it should be a coincidence that he's the one who showed up, you know, to first confront him.
Actually, something funny, I saw a series of photos and it was Anakin going, "Don't kill him, Windu, it's not the Jedi way." And Windu looks at him and goes, "Yeah, I'm fucking a senator and murdering sand people isn't either."
All right.
Anyway, continue.
Also, you guys discuss if there was ever another time where there was a bathroom in Star Wars television or movies. The bathroom, or maybe the facility used to dispose waste, was called a refresher. In that Rebels episode with Wedge Antilles, or was it Wedgie Antilles? Also, I hope I have to read the intro to your.
No, this is to me. Also, hope, comma.
Oh, also hope I have read the intro to your Thrawn fan fiction.
Yay!
Very good writing.
Thank you.
Brings interest in the outside background of the characters. Cool.
Thank you, Cad Bane's in it. I have to correct you because he says, cool seeing perspective from a daughter who has never met Thrawn. Cass is a boy.
Oh.
It's a perspective from his son who has never met him.
Mm. Get it right there.
That's okay. He's not the first person to say that Cass is a girl.
There was a curveball with the uncle, LOL.
Hey, it's Cad Bane.
It was funny realizing who the uncle was when you throw in his last name. Oh,
yeah.
Prior, I was not realizing that. LOL. At the same time, I had been in the middle of reading Darth Plagueis by James Iusino. With story.
I read all the names and the books and stuff.
Yeah, no. At least I didn't get NG. Nee.
Ing. Mm. It's ing. Like ING, just ing.
Which story I'll comment on more when you get to the Banking Clan arc, because it's more applicable, but Hope's fanfiction is more interesting to read than this novel, I think. Nice work.
Thanks, Paul. That's really nice and sweet. Thank you.
Hear that, Star Wars people that are listening to Jay Guys and Jedi? You should go read her fanfiction and then hire her to write a Star Wars book.
We actually have one more piece of feedback, but you don't have it because I just noticed it on Twitter. John Wilson has been going through our older episodes because he's doing a rewatch with his son.
Uh-huh.
And he just got to the corruption episode.
Oh. Well, you know it's up in that arc.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Is this it? No. He sent us two. Where's the other one? Where's the other one? Hold on. I lost it. There's two. I'm looking for it now. Why do I talk to people so much on Twitter? Because now I can't find it. It's not the one I thought. Okay, so we have two from John as soon as I find the other one. Pretty much what it is, because I can't find the very first one, is he was talking about how often they say corruption, and he was like, well, maybe... when we get to Rebels, I was scared of them doing this when I saw they were going back to Mandalore, that they would be saying more corruption. But then he did the Academy and said, my podcast listening this morning is coverage from the latest Clone Wars episode in which I rewatch with my boy. So glad these folks helped me, these folks being you and me, helped me appreciate this series. It's a major component of Star Wars lore.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting recognized as such more and more.
Yes, it is. Candy! Wow, this is it really does look like a pipe. It looks like a pipe. So, if you don't know what we're doing, Chris hates American Kit Kats. Yeah. So our friend Dario sends us candy from all over the world to review. Shut up, Chris. Kit Kats are lovely. He's sending us, our friend Dario sends us candy from all over the world to review. And this week we got a roll of Dorstay chocolate from Brussels. The packaging looks like a pipe. Like, I feel like I'm opening a pipe.
It's like it's sort of like a tiny, a shrunken package of like thin mint cookies or something, you know. Okay, so and it is. It's just plain old chocolate. It looks like.
Oh, it's very flaky though. And I'm trying to pick up all the pieces because my cats will find it. They'll be like, "Oh, that looks delicious." Mm. Let me put this over the paper actually. So.
Mm, not mine. Is it it's just been chocolate? Warm here today, so mine's pretty chewy.
It's just chocolate.
It's just good chocolate.
I thought it was gonna be like wafer.
This is like a week's worth of chocolate for me right here.
I know.
This thing is no joke. It's basically just like a solid. It's
just solid.
It's just
chocolate.
A lot of chocolate.
I know.
This is like.
It's about 6 inches long.
No, this is about like wide. 3 Hershey bars worth of chocolate.
I know. Mmm.
It's dense too, it's good.
Oh my mom. I'm not finishing that tonight.
No.
Robin,
no, I'm gonna be working on that for like a week probably.
That's going in my freezer. Mmm. Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. That's our website where we got all our podcasts. Millions and millions of podcasts. The greatest podcasts you'll ever see and hear. Mostly here, though. But you can see them, too, on twotruefreaks.com. You can also subscribe to our RSS feed there. You can subscribe to our RSS feed on iTunes. You can find us on Facebook. There's a Two True Freaks page on Facebook, where we post up everybody's shows when they come up. And a lot of those shows also have their own Facebook pages, which you can find out about when they post up, and maybe you might want to join them. And we got the Two True Freaks Cantina, which is a sort of an open house, clearinghouse of opinion. It's a marketplace of opinion and information. And we are also on the Twitters with our main only Twitterer, Gene, the Twitter machine.
Gene.
Wow.
I was trying to think of something funny. Actually, it was Aaron. It was either on Twitter or on Facebook, but he was like, Gene is the only person I know that has a theme song.
Yep, people are starting to associate that song with Gene now, so that's
good. And he said it's thanks to our show.
Our work here is done.
Here, let's do a classic. Ba-da-bum, ba-da-bum, Gene!
Yeah, it's always good old school. But that's about all. That's about the only place you can find me, except for if I'm at work or at home. And when I'm at home, I'm just slaving over podcasts. So you might as well just go to twotruefreaks.com. So where can they find you?
You can find me at JS and Jedi. I run our Twitter account. And you can also find me at Hope Molinax. I also write a fan fiction called Forces of Gravity. That's Paul C. Kelly approved. Thanks, Paul. And it is on archive of our own. It is 15 chapters in and almost 150,000 words. It's a novel.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm actually writing a battle right now. It's Thrawn and Cad Bane just met. And I'm about to write a battle. So, yeah. And it's a fun little side project as I'm working on my novel and stuff. And I also beta read Valkyrie Strike by my friend Megan. And I'm her beta reader, and I help her out on that. And you can find that on AO3, which is short for Archive of Our Own. And my name on there is Chaos Lydia. And if you leave a kudos and a comment, it helps people find our stuff. So feel free. Even if you don't have an account, you can leave a kudos as a guest. So yay.
Kudo it up.
I kind of like have an idea where I just like going forward to start making like fanfic recommendations. Like, if I read a good one, I'm just like, yeah, this is awesome.
Do it.
Oh, can I? I'm actually I just started one. I'm 4 chapters into one right now.
Do. Or do not. There is no try.
All right, okay, so the one I'm currently reading right now, it's called Last Known Trajectory by Aliz Rack. It's Alizrak. And it is about Thrawn and Ezra after they're lost. And the summary is, Ezra and Thrawn end up stranded on an uninhabited planet somewhere in the unknown regions. With no rescue in sight, can Ezra put aside his differences with one of his biggest enemies to survive? But most importantly, what is Thrawn's ulterior motive to push for this unlikely alliance? And so I've been enjoying this one so far. I've gotten to know her well. She actually follows both of our Twitters, both JGuys and Jedi and mine. And she's really sweet, and this is actually she's from Mexico, and this is her first fan fiction in English. And she's very funny and kind, and it's Eliezrak. It's called Last Known Trajectory, and I'm in 4 chapters in, and I'm enjoying it so far. And she's reading mine, too, so yay. So that's my fan fiction recommendation, also on AO3. Go read it. It's called Last Known Trajectory.
Yep. Hope proof. Tell them two true freaks sent you.
Yeah, it's hope proved. You can say that Chaos Lydia sent you.
I was just going to say, tell him Chaos Lydia sent you.
Yeah, because, you should read it. So, oh, that's all I have. Oh, I think next week is a one-shot.
Ooh, I like the one-shots.
I think. Here, I don't want to get your hopes up. Let me double-check. Because I can't remember if it's a one-shot that leads into a two-parter or if it actually is truly a one-shot. I think it's truly...
You don't have to worry too bad about getting my hopes up because I'm so dumb I, like, forget by next week anyway. It is?
I think so. I'm going to play this. Maybe? Because I know the last three is an arc.
Well, we'll find out in a week.
We'll find out in a week. Yeah.
Because honestly, I could Google it right now and find out, but I will just forget by next week. And then next week I'll be watching and I'll go like, oh yeah, one and done.
So I think it's a one shot. We'll see. We'll see you next week.
One and done. One and done. If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there.
If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Where have you been, Lord? Run, my son. Oh, make my bed soon, for I'm weary from hunting.